Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin, increasing and reaching your child's full potential. Each week, our objective is to help you as a parent, guardian, or loved one direct the path of a young person by empowering you with knowledge and understanding. Each week, you will be enlightened and moved into a position of positive parental involvement and influence. I am Phyllis Austin, and I am the founder of the National Parent Education Center, where we educate parents on education, help parents create quality education for their child, and advocate with parents on educational issues. Good morning, and welcome to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. And I am Phyllis Austin. Today's show is about charter schools, what they are and what they are not. So I honor and welcome you to honor and welcome your presence. And if you're going to listen to the show via on demand, I welcome your presence. And I honor and welcome your presence to the classroom today. As more school boards, districts, and states establish charter schools, you need to know what they are, your rights, and what you want to know. So today we want to start separating fact from fiction when it comes to charter schools, okay? So let's start off with a definition. And of course, if you are listening via your phone, feel free to push that button and say you want to ask a question. You may also call in. Our call in number is 347-855-8603. Again, that's 347-855-8603. And you can join us by chat. So that call in number allows you to call and ask questions and listen to us via the phone. You know, we like to educate people here at Classroom DNA. So let's start off with a definition of what charter schools are. A tax supported. Let me repeat that. What are charter schools? A tax supported school established by a charter between a granting body, and that could be the school board or the state. And here in Georgia, the state can also grant charters, and an outside group. That can be parents, teachers, corporations, community organizations, universities, foundations, teachers. The list goes on. So let me repeat that. A tax-supported school established by a charter between a granting body, which could be a school board or state board of education, and an outside group, which operates the school without, and it says most local and state educational regulations. I'm not going to say that. That depends on the state. But basically, they do set goals, and the decision-making, for the most part, as far as operation, is at the local level. The decision-making is at the local level. And the reason why I wanted to kind of clean up that definition, because here it says operates the schools without most local and state educational regulations, it really just depends on what the charter is, okay? It depends on the charter. So a charter is like a contract. It's a document, okay? And it basically outlines what this group of people say that they can do, okay, to increase the quality of education. Now, I did not say implement quality education. I said to increase the quality of education. So if you're on a level 2, they may put in this charter, we can increase it to a level 4, but quality education may start at a level 7 or a level 8. So you got to be very clear when we say certain things, because it may register quite differently if you hear it a certain way. So let's go back and let me repeat that. Charters, when you tend to say you want to be a charter school or you're getting a group together and you create this charter, the goal primarily is to increase the quality of education. Doesn't mean that they can implement quality. I did not say to provide quality education. I said increase the quality of education. So here, I think this is what I pulled from the Chicago Public Schools. Each charter school has a curriculum, schedule, calendar, and admissions procedure that may differ from other public schools. There are charter schools operated by community organizations, universities, foundations, and teachers. All are held accountable for high student academic achievement by the Board of Education. Generally, charter schools admit students based on lottery. I did not pull that from the charter school, Chicago Board. I may have. But let me look at those last two sentences. All charter schools are held accountable for high student academic achievement. And that's one of those lines that you really have to understand what that means. Okay, I have a call, and I'm going to go to the call. Thanks, caller. I'm going to go to you. Let me just... let's go to the line. Let's go ahead and get to the call. Yes, caller, welcome to Classroom DNA, and I want to thank you for joining us. Comment, question, or just listening?
Well, I was just listening, but I make a comment on charter schools.
Okay.
And I'm here in Missouri. And I believe strongly in school choice, including full vouchers.
Okay.
But charter school, the way laws first appeared, was that if a group of people wanted to have a charter school, a school where they taught their children something specific that was not offered in the normal school setting, then they had the right to form an educational setting, a school, and be able to instruct their children in that particular paradigm, and also at the same time meet the state minimum standards. Now, that's the way it started off. But now it has evolved into something that's more like a mysterious creature.
Okay.
And you can see the results that we are seeing as it pertains to academic success. Not only is the academic success not always there, but also the specialties of what a charter school is supposed to be is not being derived. You know, here in St. Louis area, we have a construction training charter school, which prerequisites children to whatever craft that they seek to go into in commercial construction. And it does a very good job. But you also see at the same time other institutions coming along for whatever reason, and much time the reason is for profit. And they're basically instituting the same traditional way of educating children without any specialty whatsoever, and the results are very dismal.
And you're absolutely right. And I'm going to, when I get into the four types of initiations and implementations of charter schools, you will see that. But the best, what I would say to you, is going to be very imperative for the people who are listening to this show to pull the charters of these charter schools, to see what is in the charter, to have an understanding what is in the charter as far as the goals and the assessments that are being used. And I'm going to, at this time, go, and I invite you to hold on because you're going to hear a lot of information. I'm going to go into how four different constructions of charter schools, and I think you'll be able to pull from that information and then probably want to ask another question. So I invite you to continue to stay, but you're absolutely right, and listen to the show. What the caller was basically talking about was the area of implementation and how charter schools are initiated. So let me go into four areas, and I think it's going to really kind of broaden our understanding. The first type of charter school, or you can have how a charter school kind of arises or is created, is when parents kind of get together. And I think this is pretty, a really good model here. When the parents get together and they have a vested interest in their local school, and they say, hey, we want to create a charter. And usually it's because they want to increase the quality of education through some type of special programming, or just be able to say, you know, we don't think that's a great fit what the school board is deciding for us. Those charter schools, when they created that way, there's a lot of benefits. First, the parents tend, in the community, they tend to educate. And what you really have is a traditional school being transformed into a charter to have local school control. They look at the data. They tend to say the increase in growth, academic growth, is slow, or they might want to increase that faster pace. They might feel they eliminate stagnation or whatever. But the charters with the local school district is the same school zone. It's in the same building. The pay scale is the same for the teachers and staff. And really, on the outside, you probably wouldn't even know that it's a charter school because it looks the same. There's nothing that's really different on the outside to say it's a charter school. It's just that the community decided we want to have a charter for local, for better local community control and decision-making at the local level. And so you might have increased programming, curriculum, supplemental resources. But the great thing, I think this is probably very sustainable. The great thing, when you get to the point in a charter, or they say, well, we accomplished what we decided to do, we don't need a charter, there's no collateral damage. The kids come from the same school. They came from that school zone. You don't even know, even if they lose the charter because they're not fulfilling what they said they're going to do, it looks the same. No one knows what's going on. There's no difference. They're in the same school building. The teachers are paid the same. Sometimes teachers, when they get hired, they don't even know that they're going to be in a charter school. But let me tell you the benefits of this type of setting. I told you the story about my, let me log this caller off. I told you the story about my child when we first moved to Georgia, and the school system implemented whole language, and they basically had the schools to implement whole language instead of phonics. Well, on the charter school system, and if this was a charter school, the charter school said, well, we don't want that. So those are the benefits of having that type of charter school created at that one school or the parents coming together. Now, another type of charter is when the another type of charter is when organizations, or you have an organization coming together and they want to basically have a separate school in a separate building. Let me disconnect this caller. They basically want to have a separate school in a separate district, in a separate building, okay? And in the state of Georgia, you have the school board and the state board can approve these charters. Now, depending on where these schools are, there may or may not be an expanded school zone. And you have to be kind of careful when you have this type of situation, because a person can come in and say, I want to create a charter, okay? And we're going to establish this school in this particular school zone, okay, in this particular area, and the school zone may be bigger, maybe absolutely bigger than what the neighboring schools are experiencing because you still have these other schools set up around this particular school building. And generally, this plays into the perception that charter schools are doing better, and they probably are for the first few years. They're probably doing better for the first few years. But after year number two or year number three, what may happen is you see that the amount of money needed to maintain that charter is so much. The serviceability of 504s and IEP is great. The teacher pay is low. The turnover of teachers are high. So the key to that charter surviving as a charter school in a charter school setting really becomes money. And when this type of charter school model fails, a lot of collateral damage is done. The kids are displaced. The kids may have to go to different environments. The opportunities to access to certain educational programs are... There's a problem. So this type of charter school setting may not be the best in terms of sustainability. And they may, unless there's a lot of money put behind these charter schools, okay? Because they are separate buildings. If you know about what you're going to learn about charter schools, is most charter schools, the difficulty when they're in a separate building, they are initiated or they are erected at this level based on this format, the cost is in building maintenance. You're listening to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin, and I think I probably should have disconnected that caller because I thought it was going to go into another query. So if you're out there, feel free to call back. And we're going to go to a commercial break, and we're going to come back and talk about two other examples of how charter schools and charter school systems can be established. And feel free to call in. Our call-in number is 347-855-8603. Again, 347-855-8603. And we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Hello, this is Phyllis Austin, founder of the National Parent Education Center. When I first started this organization, I wanted to make sure that parents understood what a quality education is and what it looks like. Do you know that most state constitutions only provide for an adequate education? Here at the National Parent Education Center, we help parents create and receive a quality education for their child. Please support our efforts by making a $5 donation. You may donate more, but please donate. Visit tnpec.org and donate now. Thank you.
Okay, welcome back to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. We do have someone in the chat room, so feel free to place your comment in the chat room or call in. Our call in number is 347-855-8603. Again, that's 347-855-8603. And we are talking about charter schools, what you need to know and what you definitely want to know. And before we left, I was just talking about a second type of method that charter schools come into existence. The first type was when you just have a group of parents at a school and they say, look, we just want to increase our quality education here. We're not looking to have a building, change school zones. We can still use the same teachers, but we just want to make better decisions. The second type is when you have a group, you want to start a charter school within the district limits or within the state. And I said, in Georgia, the state or the school board can approve the charter. And here there's a different building. The problem, the sustainability kind of increases when this occurs because there's definitely a problem with money. And what I see in a lot of charter schools that are erected this way, the first 2 years, they're a big success, but then comes the 504s and IEP, serviceability, money costs. And now, the program starts to be diluted. Educational program that they want to implement it becomes diluted because it becomes a money pit. You have to pay for the building. Yes, did they know that on the front end? Yes. But I want to tell you some costs that schools tend to overlook. Parents, when they come in with lawyers and 504s and IEPs are not being implemented, that's a serious cost because now you have to bring on those special staff members, and then you have to pay them, and it tends to explode your budget. And 5 or 6 years down the road, you're out of business. Now, the other two is what I call the writing is on the wall. When you start establishing charter schools, I'm going to talk about method 3 and 4. But really, it's because writing's on the wall. The state is about to take over large numbers of schools within the school district. And that's about to occur. And generally, what the state realized, hey, these schools or this school district, a lot of their schools are not meeting the minimal standard of academic success. And there are two resolutions here. One, the school system or the school district to say, look, we're going to start to transition a number of our schools from a traditional school setting to a charter school setting. Remember, charter schools are not private schools. They are public schools. They use taxpayer money. And if you ever want to have that argument with me, I invite you to, because I had to advocate for a pair in a charter school, one in a public school. Well, gosh, we do so much here at the National Parent Education Center and our private schools, and they are different. So do not go around saying charter schools are private schools. You put people in the mindset that they have no rights, and they do. Okay. So the third type, and this is when the writing is on the wall for the district. You guys are not meeting the state standard, and basically the school district knows that if they continue, the school board, the school district, the superintendent knows that if they continue on this way, the state is going to come in and take over the school district or take over a large number of schools within the school district, and that's going to pull money out the budget for the schools that are left over. Okay? School districts generally see no growth. They have no plan. They don't know what to do. But they decide, hey, let's convert a large number of our schools to charter schools. Okay? We don't know what to do to increase the quality of education. But let's start to give the schools local control as far as decision-making status. And kind of like this. Let me tell you how this worked out in one district, the pros and the cons. The pros are you're using the same buildings, okay? If things don't work out, the kids really don't know. The parents and the students, they don't see, they really don't have a lot of adverse effects other than what was the problem initially, which is there's no growth or increase in academic success here. Using the same buildings, the problem with this model, the parents, you have to educate the parents. Give you a prime example. I was at a school 2 years ago that was, the school district was going to this model. They were initiating this model, one-third of the schools be transitioning into a charter school 1 year. The next one-third and the next one-third, so the district will become our charter schools. At the tour, about 2 weeks before school started, there was no principal. The school had no principal. And they were educating the parents to understand that you get to pick who your principal is going to be. And you're putting power in the hands of people, you're trying to educate them, and they don't really understand how to self-govern themselves. So right before the school year, the district sent the principal, wasn't one of the best principal, it's probably the best of what was left over. It really goes into educating the powers at that school, parents, community organizations, like, look, you have certain power now, you have power of choice, you can decide what type of programs you want, we will help you. But I really enjoyed the fact that the district was moving towards educating the people there to govern themselves in the educational process instead of allowing the people to just complain, but to educate them on how to be a charter school and how to self-govern yourself. You're listening to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. I see people in the chat room. I do invite you to call in. Our call in number is 347-855-8603. Again, that's 347-855-8603. We're going to go to a commercial break, and we're going to come back to, we're going to talk about when we return, when the writing is on the wall and the house is on fire, okay? That method of established charter school is really interesting, so we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Phyllis Austin. You know, parenting is very difficult. I don't know too many parents who can raise a child to 18 years of age without getting stuck, not knowing what to do. So I would like you to visit householddna.com and view the Household DNA Parenting Pyramid. Learn about the 7 principles of parenting, 4 of which you should be doing every day. Next, visit phyllisaustin.com and click on the Power Bookstore for great parent resources. You can pick up my latest book, God Has Not Forgotten You, written for teenagers and college students. While there, get your copy of my ever-popular book, From Parent to Power. Don't parent in fear. Visit phyllisaustin.com today for your book and parent resources. Thank you.
Okay, welcome back to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin, and I want to thank you for joining us. And I stated the last method, and it's not the only method, but it's the last four of the methods for establishing charter school, is when I say the house is on fire. The district is not meeting basic state standards. Their financial is probably plagued with financial problems, and there is a quality education issue. And the house is on fire. They do not have a plan on how to get out of this mess. They probably don't believe that the community can self-govern themselves if they went to a district-supported charter school method. And there's more than likely there's probably a lot of complaining. But what they decide to do, what the district decides to do, because they don't know, or they don't want to know, or they just feel they can't, don't have the ability or capability to do it, they just say, look, we are just going to outsource, like outsourcing. But you don't really call it outsourcing your education. You just say, well, we're looking for strong management companies, community, corporations who are in the charter school business. They don't say that. But that's what they're doing. Now, let me tell you how this looks. They put out a mass amount of RFPs, requests for proposals for charter schools, okay? And if you go to their website, you will see these RFPs, okay, requests for proposals for charter schools. Basically, they just want to get out the business of being liable, financially liable, and for meeting state standards. Because they just don't know what to do. The house is on fire. And now it's just turning over. So look, we don't know what to do. We put a lot of money in. We don't know how to manage these schools. We're not meeting state standards. People are complaining. So now you come in, and it's almost like it's open season. Because a lot of corporations who are in the charter school business who probably have no knowledge of your specific needs in these local areas, these local schools, the cultural environments, they come in and they say, hey, we can do this. And it's a catch-22 situation. How do I feel about this method personally of establishing charter schools? It's not my favorite. It's probably one of my least favorite methods because there's very little community involvement, but more, well, you can have a lot of community involvement, but you're not educating the community. And when you don't educate the community, it causes various concerns to rise to the top, which has nothing to do with the child's or quality education. Here you have, because you have corporations coming in, they're going to slice the budget. Problems are foreseeable. Teacher salary is going to be reduced. Is that the main issue? No. When teacher salaries are reduced, what tends to happen, teachers tend to leave. Quality teachers leave. Less experienced teachers come on board. That tends to lower the quality of education. Actually, you may have the adverse effect, okay? Instead of increasing the level of quality education, you're probably decreasing it because you have less knowledgeable people in the school, to say differently. Also, because you have a lot of myths out there, I think one fiction, we talk about fact or fiction, when I hear charter schools are private schools, that's when you tend to hear it when this fourth scenario is coming into play. Well, it's a private school. It's not a private school. It's still a charter school. But because it's such a mass exodus of conversion from traditional to charter, it may feel that you're just ramming stuff down the community's throat. But the bottom line is, you got to look at the charter. So when we come back, again, our call-in number is 347-855-8603. Again, that's 347-855-8603. I invite you to call in. I'm going to tell you what you need to know and what you really need to do from the parent side of this issue, from the community side of this issue. The districts, they already made up their mind. But you can kind of change the district sometimes if you present a better charter. That's a clue. So we'll be right back. This is a very short commercial break. We'll be right back with Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin.
For Classroom DNA show topics and information, text tnpec.org to 23559. Again, for Classroom DNA show topics and information, text tnpec.org to 23559.
Welcome back to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. We're talking about charters. So, as a parent, what do you want to know? As a community, what do you want to know? That's why I'm a part, and I founded the National Parent Education Center. It's important to educate you so you will know what you need to know. You need to know what is in the charter, especially concerning academic growth, okay? And what those what that looks like, what are their educational goals and their assessments. I'm less concerned about curriculum, okay? Curriculum is an iffy subject, but I tell you, I need to know what are the educational goals and how you're going to assess the kids. Now, I will say I pulled an application off the website, Tier 1 Level Well application from Chicago Education Partnerships. Just to let you know, this show is a derivative of a conversation I had with a family member about charter schools in Chicago, and I said I'm going to do a show on it. I have yet to hear that family member call in, so hopefully that family member will call in. But there was an RFP submitted by Chicago Education Partnership. And I wanted to look in their RFP. I pulled it off the web, downloaded, printed it out, and section 2.3, educational goals and assessments. So I looked at that. And I said, I like what they say they're going to do. They're going to increase, 2015 and 2016 above the 50th percentile, and each year they add 5 percentile points. So by the year 2021, they're above the 70th percentile in reading, math, and all this other stuff. Reading, math for the most part, 6 through whatever the grade levels are, I think 3, 4, 5, or whatever. And gosh, they say the 90th percentile, attendance rate going to be at the 90th percentile. Okay. Well, I'm least concerned about attendance. They're concerned about attendance because each child is a dollar amount. But I'm more concerned about the assessment. Now, the assessment they're going to use, the goals and assessment, that's the goal. But the assessment they're going to use is the Northwest, and someone can call it and correct me, and I'm big enough to say I misread this. But it's going to be based on NWEA, Northwest Evaluation Association. Now, my question is, how come it's not based on NAEP, National Assessment of Educational Progress? If I was a person, a community, I would wave the white flag. Hold up. Wait a minute. I'm looking at your charter. I'm so-and-so. I'm in this community, this school. Why are you using the Northwest Evaluation Association assessment, math and reading assessment, instead of the National Assessment of Educational Progress, okay, or ITBS or something that I'm more familiar with, more importantly, that I can look at nationally. Now, I don't know what NWEA is. I don't know. I don't know what this is. I know there are NAEP scores out there, and the schools can tell you what the NAEP scores are. Okay, so that is a question I have. Maybe there's something, I'm not saying I know everything about assessments, okay? But if you're out there, you can tell me why, please call in to tell me why. Maybe something I'm not thinking about, or I'm just misreading this, or I'm looking at this assessment incorrectly. But I will want to know, why are you not concerned with the NAEP scores, how these kids score on NAEP? Okay, that would be a question. Why are we using that assessment instrument? What you want to do, you want to monitor academic growth. That is what you want to do each year. Look at the numbers. They're going to have these charters, school organizations, they are going to have to release numbers. Make sure that they are adhering to the charter. Big question, can charters be rescinded or non-renewal? Big answer, yes, they can. And I always say this, hopefully the school board, school district, whoever approved the charter didn't go more than 2 or 3 years, okay? Your charter is approved for 2 years or 3 years. I say starting off a charter should be approved every year. But definitely it should not be approved for more than 3 years to see if there's a pattern of growth that can be sustained. I do feel that if, let's say you have a, let's give you an example. An organization or a governing board has a 5-year charter. Year one is unsuccessful in meeting the goal. Year two is unsuccessful in meeting the goal. Year three, and you're another organization, say we can do a better job. Year three, you're unsuccessful in meeting the goal. By year two, we should be establishing or doing an RFP for this school. I mean, it's always in the best interest, and if, well, in most charters, if the charter is not being met, the goals, if they're not being met, they will be rescinded. They don't have to be renewed, and they don't have to go the full extent of the term. Just because you were given a 5-year charter, if it's really bad, okay, your goals and your assessments are really off, we don't have to keep you in place for 5 years knowing there's a problem. So hit, someone is trying to type in the chat room, make sure you hit the enter button, okay? So can charters be rescinded or non-renewal? The answer is yes. We have a few minutes left in this program. Actually, we're over time, but we were still for a few minutes because someone was trying to type in the chat box. Hopefully that person is still out there. But they also, yeah, they start back typing. That's a great thing. But they can also call in. And our call-in number is 347-855-8603. Again, 347-855-8603. And I invite that person to just call in if they're having a problem typing their comments. So we're just going to wait. I will say this about the National Parent Education Center. We are expanding our services where we will do online education seminars and educate people. That has always been a goal. A couple of years ago, we were doing seminars. We sent out surveys. Someone said, can you do this online? And I said, sure we can. I'm sure that we can, but we don't know how. So now we know how. We have the tools to do this, and we are ready to expand our service. We have roughly 6 minutes remaining. I'm trying to get this comment in. The person who's typing, make sure you hit the enter button. Hit the enter. There we go. I recommend using a management firm. We use Governor French in Belleville, Illinois. I think this is in response. Using a management firm. Are you talking about two questions here. The person wrote, I recommend using a management firm. Are we talking about bringing in a management firm just for the school system, okay, and not a part of the charter, but if there's a problem, just bringing that management firm so we're not going into the charter status? I really would love for this person to call in. We used Governor French in Belleville, Illinois. I'm familiar with Belleville, Illinois, Governor French. Is that the governor? Okay. It's just a management firm. I really want appreciate if you could call in and kind of explain this to me, because I am an Atlanta, so I don't know, just like the caller from Missouri told us about what was going on in Missouri, I don't really know what's going on nationally, at the local level, because each charter school, each state have different guidelines for charters and what they're willing to do. But I will make the statement of what the person typed in the chat box. He said, I recommend using a management firm. We use Governor French in Belleville, Illinois. And without any additional information to comment on that, I don't want to misrepresent what the person is saying. I am going to make that statement as it is presented in the chat room. And for those of you who are in Belleville, Illinois, or Chicago, it may register. The meaning of that statement may register. So I thank you for your comment. Okay, thank you. You have been listening to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. Again, let me go over what you should do and what you want to know. What you want to know is what's in the charter, especially concerning academic growth, educational goals, and assessments. I want to know how you're going to assess the knowledge. That has been a big problem in education. The assessment tools. We go from criterion reference. I prefer norm reference. It, to me, it's not just about the outcome. It's about the positioning. You know, your child having an A or doing well means absolutely nothing if your child's having an A, but they're only in the third percentile of that child's population across the country. And so when we start talking about assessment tools, I want to know, are they criterion reference? Are there norm reference assessment tools? And we have educated you on that, and we will continue to educate you on assessment tools. What you want to know, you want to continue to monitor the growth of the children, the assessment, whatever the population is, as it relates to the charter. Remember, you're doing a comparative analysis. Just because it looks good on a comparative scale. So you're talking about a comparison here. And what do I mean by that? Well, we got 90% growth. I don't know. That does not mean you're in the 90th percentile. Okay? Understand the difference. The terminology matters. The meaning matters. People will mislead you in this arena of academic progress and success. If someone says we have 90% growth, that's what it means. It grew 90%, okay? If you're on a 2, okay, it went just shy of 3. It doesn't mean it met the standard of 7 or 8, okay? If you're in the 95th percentile, wow. And that's going to be our first lesson as we enter the classroom setting. Once we roll out our classroom, where nationally you will be able to come into a classroom, we can educate the parents and the community on education and empower you. I thank you for listening to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin, Charter Schools. I invite you to come back and also listen to some of our archive shows. Okay, and I really enjoyed the comment in the chat box and the person who called in from Missouri. And I hope that caller has a better understanding of the different ways that charter schools can be implemented. And as a parent, as always, we have taught you to pay attention to your child's educational needs and not fancy terminology that says you're going to get a quality education over here. Contact us. Words, trust me, when education on the line, pretty people, you'll call it an academy, a magnet school, a charter school, all of these are fancy fancy words. But at the bottom, or at the very top, well, what you really want to know is to make sure you want to know what your child's educational needs are, how to meet them, and how to position your child to access and create opportunities. Thank you and have a wonderful day. We look forward to you joining us next week and want to thank the caller who called in and the people who joined us in the chat room. Have a wonderful day. Until next time on Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. Goodbye.